You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, New Orleans? What's up across the Gulf South? And what's up to you listening wherever you are tonight at WWL.com, the radio.com app. Welcome into the show. Got a big one for you. We're keeping an eye on the Little League World Series semifinals that are happening right now. The boys from River Ridge leading Virginia 1-0 in the semifinals. Top of the fourth inning, two on and one out for Virginia. So a little bit of a jam here for Louisiana. We'll keep an eye on that. Remember, this is a loser out game. Winner advances to the United States semifinals and into the United States Championship, possibly, if they could win a couple of ones. By the way, big shout out to Logan Falgu, who had a big opportunity to use my cell phone that I had left in the producer studio unlocked, and I know that Christian Garrick would have just taken the opportunity to run with that, but Logan did not. So smart man. Logan knows where his bread's buttered. Also, Bobby Aber, can somebody explain to me why there's salt and pepper on my host table? Were you guys getting a little salty in here? Was this like a prop? I know you get a little salty sometimes, Bobby.
Salt and pepper.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Who was the salt? Who was the pepper?
So wait.
I'm guessing you were the salt.
So wait, no, Christian had salt and pepper in front of you right here?
Well, I don't know if it was Christian. It could have been here from somebody before that.
Christian likes to – can you hear me?
No, I can't. Logan, you got Mark on here?
Well, the only thing is –
go ahead, Mark.
Christian likes to put that on his ramen noodles is what he does.
Yes, ramen noodles, and he was eating macaroni and cheese.
The ramen doesn't have enough salt. He's got to add a little salt and some pepper.
No, so, man, look, I will be the first guy to tell you that this time at night – sometimes I'm a little hungry, so sometimes I bring some studio, put it back here behind me, so I don't have a problem with that. But the salt on ramen doesn't sound good.
Well, the salt on ramen noodles, salt and pepper ramen noodles are macaroni and cheese.
Aren't those things salty anyways?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. He must have like a sodium deficiency or something.
It's enough sodium as it is.
Now, Bobby, before I let you guys get out of here, you guys are really passionate about this game. I mean, you guys are pounding the table. I thought it was going to break in half here a second ago. You guys are into this, right?
Well,
how could you not be?
I am.
Good time.
No, the thing is, now, I don't know what's going to happen, but you know how we acknowledge championships?
Yeah.
If Louisiana's able, now, if my understanding, win this game against Virginia, you play in Hawaii to represent the United States, then you would play the international version. So, Japan, Curacao, whoever it might be. And then if you truly the world champs.
Oh, that's crazy.
We got to have a freaking parade.
Oh, we will have a parade.
Come on.
This city will have a parade, right?
Little League, whatever. You have to acknowledge greatness at any level, whether you're young, middle age, old, whatever. If you win a championship and you're truly the world champ, and that is what the Little League World Series.
They got out of the jam.
They got out.
They did. Oh, they so I didn't see what happened behind me. Did you see, Mark?
Yeah, it was just a play at second. They managed to get the force out and
there you go.
Head into the dugout.
So 1-0 going to the bottom of the fourth.
For them, four innings of defense in the books, and they have a 1-0 lead headed to the plate in the bottom of the fourth.
And these aren't nine-inning games for anybody who's not familiar
with six innings.
Little League Baseball.
Hey, so you know what's crazy, Seth? God, you know what I just wish? There's the only thing I wish. This from a local perspective. I don't know, colors are orange and yellow. I mean, I'm like, I don't know.
You want black and gold?
Louisiana, yes, a little yes.
Black and gold, a little purple.
Like black and gold or something.
Now, I wonder if those,
orange and
I'm
yellow.
Guessing, this is my guess on that, is each region in the United States has a color that is predetermined.
And we're in the Southwest. So, I mean, you think Southwest, do you think orange?
I do think orange. I do think orange.
Like desert?
Freaking University of Texas. Orange, like burn orange or something.
It's not quite burnt orange.
It's still orange.
Is a little Oklahoma State orangey.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, Oklahoma State. But
did you guys play Little League Baseball?
I played Dixie League Baseball, but not past like 10 years old.
Gotcha.
Yes, I played Little League. I played whatever the season.
Of course. And now we're gonna hear 30 minutes of Bobby Aber, the superstar Little Leaguer.
The golden days.
No, I was not a superstar. I played, though, come on, I think a number of people, I think we need to do this in the future, whatever the season. Oh, you got to focus on I'm a tennis player, or I'm a golfer, or I'm a footballer.
The one sport, guys.
It's football season, play football. It's basketball, you play basketball. Baseball, track, whatever it might be. Just whatever the season, have fun. Everyone is too focused on only doing one sport.
I agree. No, I agree. Right, and I've talked about it a lot because I don't think at this age, at what is this, 12-year-olds, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-old guys and gals out there now, which is really cool because it is guys and gals, boys and girls out there.
Have fun.
They don't necessarily know the sport that they want to play or try to play for a very long time, like dabble in stuff. I don't necessarily mind it when you get very late high school or into college, but even high school, I thought one of my favorite experiences, and look, admittedly, I wasn't any kind of, you know, world-class athlete, but I played baseball, I played basketball, I played a little football my freshman year, before I got broken in half because I was like 165 pounds and 6'7" then. So football wasn't my sport, but playing it. But yeah, I really enjoyed having variety in my athletic career.
I don't know if Mark can take this approach, but the approach that I took, like whatever the season, you know, with your fellow classmates, you just have fun.
Yeah.
And you have that camaraderie, and you're able to communicate. You learn social skills, and you're playing, and you're competing, and you have fun. I can tell you right now, here I am, Seth, because I always count the holdout year in 1990. I played 15 years of professional football. Basketball is way more fun than football. I'm just telling you, as far as like
Your son Bo is in the right
but
industry
like basketball
for that.
Practice versus football. No, basketball is just a lot of fun.
Bobby said he's not going to speak for me. I'm going to speak for myself. I had no pro aspirations. Every sport I played was for fun. if I wasn't having fun, there wasn't no point in doing it because it wasn't going to take me anywhere, if you know what I mean. But, I played football. I played basketball. I played a little baseball when I was a kid, but then I switched over to tennis when I was in high school. And you play what's in season, and basically you just kind of have fun with your friends.
I'm with you.
It's a very short lifespan that you have in
no
high school
doubt.
To play sports and just go have fun with it while you can.
But I will only speak for myself here. Those are the years from an athletic standpoint that I remember the fondest. And I'm talking about athletically, even when I'm, you know, working in sports every day. You know, I have fonder memories of those. By the way, Christian Gerica apparently listened to the show talking about the salt and pepper that we found. He says, hell yeah, that's mine. Mine. It's mine. Next right here. That's pretty good. Strong stuff.
Mine, is he putting it on Roman noodles?
Yeah.
Macaroni and cheese?
I don't know. Okay, Christian, text me back so
spread
the knowledge here.
They have
or give me a call. We'll put you on.
You can put a bunch of pepper. They already have enough sodium.
Yeah.
Sorry, Christian.
Christian can defend himself. I'll give him an open time here to defend his dietary habits. 504-CHRISTIAN, 260-1870. In case you forgot the number.
One thing, Seth, one minor correction.
Okay.
I don't believe that they need to win twice after this. The Louisiana Little League World Series team, I think once you get to the championship, it's one and done. So if Hawaii doesn't have a loss, I don't think it matters.
So it's not double elimination.
The double elimination is over. So the fact that they lost one already means nothing. The fact that Hawaii is undefeated means nothing. If Louisiana wins this game, they play one game for the United States Championship tomorrow, and I believe it's at 2:30.
You guys will be covering that
tomorrow,
on Sports
Saturday.
Talk.
I'm sorry.
All right,
Saturday.
But here we go. I knew this was so. Christian Gerick calling in. Let's see what he says here. The salt and pepper, Christian. Was this for macaroni? Was it ramen? Leave us a scoop here, man.
Look, this was macaroni, but yes, I do put it on ramen noodles and. I'm a bit of a saltaholic. That's why I have high blood pressure. Don't judge me for what I put on my food. And the hell yeah was actually meant as in I would have picked.
Oh, you broke up. You there? Christian, all I heard was the hell yeah was for what? Go back. You said the hell yeah
hell
was for
yeah,
what?
He is a saltaholic.
Oh.
No, the hell yeah was for Logan not touching your phone. You said Christian would have taken the opportunity. I certainly would have taken the opportunity. And I'd have been tweeting away at your expense. Absolutely.
Yes. Well, Logan's well, the better well, guy well, than well, me. Christian, I'm trying to save you, bro. You got enough sodium in ramen noodles and macaroni and cheese. Now, you can put the pepper, but you got to lay off the sodium. You got to lay off the salt. Come
That's
on.
Smart dietary advice, Christian, from
Christian,
our friend here.
I'm just trying to help you out.
All right, Bobby, I'll listen to you.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow. You probably might be covering a championship in the Little League US World Series here.
I'm trying to run home and catch the last couple innings.
All right, we'll do it because I'll give you an update here. It is 2 on, nobody out for the River Ridge boys, up 1-0. There's a bunt back to the mound, and that will advance the runners and just out at first base. And I mean just out, so runner second and third, one out and already up 1-0. Thanks, Christian, for straightening us out here.
Yeah, stay off the sodium, Christian.
Okay.
That was a very mild, like, yeah, well, okay, I'm gonna tell you okay, and I'm going to go do my own thing. That's what I would do, too.
He's going to start salting it in the back and then coming in here so Bobby doesn't see.
Yes,
that.
Also, admittedly, I don't have the greatest dietary habit, especially doing this show. I mean, we were making a bet for my Magnum Red Bull that I'm supposed to drink at like 6 a.m. on Saints game days. I don't know how healthy that is. So, you know, shot inside the own bubble here. All right, guys. Bobby, Mark, thank you. You'll hear them tomorrow on Sports Talk. Remember, Saints training camp in the books for 2019. They'll be talking a lot of Saints as you get ready for that game on Saturday against the New York Jets. We will be talking a lot of Saints as well today, as we get you set for that. In fact, got a big lineup for you. At 8:30, Ricardo Lecompte, sports anchor for WWL-TV Channel 4, checks in with us. And then we go to Steve Court, former Saints offensive lineman and co-host on Fans First Take on game days. We go around the NFL inside training camp a couple of times. Jay Sirsicki and Chris Biderman will cover the Bills and 49ers respectively. Let us know what's going on in those camps. Very important year for the Kyle Shanahan era and John Lynch era in San Francisco this year. And then Carter the Bryant swings in at 10:10. We do our daily hit there, and I will probably replay perhaps depending on what time it is, the Tim Brando interview from yesterday. If you missed it, it was fantastic. We might save that tomorrow for our best of interview series that we do on Fridays. Plus, remember, towards the top of the hour, it is our bonehead of the day. Got a good one for you today. 504-260-1870. That's 504-260-1870. And our text line is 870-870. Give me a call. We'll talk some Saints. We'll talk some sports. Whatever you want as the last lap. Get started on WWL. A grand slam for Louisiana. Reese Rousel. I hope I'm pronouncing that name right. But Reese Rousel, Louisiana, grand slam for the boys from River Ridge, and they lead 5-0 in the bottom of the fourth inning, getting ever so close to advancing to the United States Championship, which will be tomorrow afternoon. This is incredibly special. Bobby Aver put it very succinctly and very well last segment. We're talking about a world championship possibility here for the kids from New Orleans. Not a state championship, not a national championship, not a North American championship. A world championship possibility. They are a few wins away from that. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Remember who to ask as we get ready to talk some Saints with Ricardo Lecompte and then Steve Court. You can kick off football season with the Who Dat Nation Rally and Music Fest Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 6th, 7th, and September 8th. Good food, great music, big-time family fun. It's going to be at LaSalle Park in Metairie. And here's some of the lineup. Cowboy Mouth, Supercharger, The Producers, New Power Generation, Family Stone, The Top Cats, much more. Plus, a really special Friday night tribute honoring Dr. John, Art Neville, Fats, all the legends that we've lost here recently in the music world. Irma Thomas, Deacon John, Renard Poche, and lots of others are going to perform on that Friday night. You can get your tickets now for the official Who Dat Rally and Music Fest, presented by Bud Light. On a separate note, if you want to attend one or both of the VIP shows at the Jefferson Performing Arts Center, you can get your tickets now before they're all sold out. That's the Guess Who on Saturday the 7th from 5:30 to 6:45. Blood, Sweat, and Tears Sunday, September 8th from 4:30 to 5:45. That's at the JPAS Center. Tickets are available there at Ticketmaster.com. And remember, each VIP experience ticket comes with weekend passes to the Who Dat Nation Rally and Music Festival. Get all the info you need at whodatnationevents.com. That's whodatnationevents.com. So Saints training camp is in the books, and now we are a little over a week away from cutdown. So we have the game against the Jets that the Saints will play on Saturday. Then next week the Saints will play the final preseason game against the Dolphins on Thursday. And then you go into that weekend cutdown period, and unlike previous years, they changed it a few years ago. Remember, you don't have the two cutdowns. You just have the one cutdown. So you go from 90, you got to get it down to 53 with the putting players through waivers to try to get him on the practice squad later this weekend also. And I asked Sean Payton earlier today the human side of this, and we'll try to play that audio for you in a little bit later this hour, but kind of like most coaches, one of the worst parts of their job, probably the least favorite part of their jobs, is having to tell these men that, well, they haven't earned a spot on this team, kind of deal a blow to their professional dreams and professional aspirations. It's tough. It's tough. It's the one part of, if you watch Hard Knocks, that it's hard not to get a little bit, you know, choked up for. Watching those coaches this year, it'll be John Gruden making the cuts. I'm really interested to see how John Gruden handles it. That's for how brash and full of bravado that he can be when he's in front of cameras. I want to know how he handles, again, the human side of this. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll as we await cutdowns. This kind of piggybacks off our conversation yesterday. Which of these receivers is least likely to make the Saints roster? Least likely. Which one of them? Austin Carr, Keith Kirkwood, Emmanuel Butler, and LJ Humphrey. One or two of those guys is not going to make this roster. It's a numbers game. They're not all going to make this roster. So Carr, Kirkwood, Butler, or Humphrey, who's least likely to make the roster? We'll break just 60 seconds for CBS News, and then we're back with Ricardo Lecompte talking Saints football here on WWL. Now, the boys from River Ridge trying to add on even more. Well, they have one more run. It's 6-0 Louisiana over Virginia, and it looks like, unless something devastating happens, that they will advance on to the U.S. Championship game at the Little League World Series tomorrow. Again, 6-0 right now. Louisiana has runners at second and third with just one out. Reese Rousel earlier in the day, a grand slam home run to open it up for Louisiana. Special stuff. Let's bring on in Ricardo Lecompte of WWL TV Channel 4. We'll talk some Saints with him. Ricardo, what's going on, man?
Nothing much. I'm actually speaking as you gave that Little League World Series update. I actually have that on right now, and they just went up 7-0. So I think everyone in the area is kind of on board the East Bank Little League train right now.
Yeah, how could you not be? I was going to ask you. This is special. We're talking about not a national championship, not a state or a continental championship, a world championship possibly here. I mean, this is special, Ricardo.
Yeah, this is really cool stuff. And for anybody who's played baseball, this is, when you were a kid, this was like the pinnacle. This was the place you wanted to get to, was Williamsport, Pennsylvania, when you're around that 10 to 13. Now it's like 10 to 12. And what Louisiana is doing right now, especially in this elimination game against a Virginia team that had two back-to-back no-hitters to go 2-0 to advance to this before they lost to Hawaii. This is really impressive what Louisiana is doing, considering they lost their first game. Now they're running through the whole bracket and have a chance to go into the U.S. championship with a win here. So it is a great story to kind of follow and watch right now.
And it's also interesting that, of course, Louisiana is playing in the Southwest, or won the Southwest bracket, and they're playing the guys from the Southeast. So maybe a little extra motivation to say, oh, wait a second, we're not in the Southeast. What's going on?
we should be the Southeast. Yeah, exactly. I think this is bragging rights for the technical Southeast.
Yeah, another run there. Yeah. A little ground ball, force out, but a run scores. So 8-0 Louisiana. Yeah, they're on their way to the U.S. championship. Ricardo Lecompte of WWL TV with us. Let's talk some Saints cutdowns now, as we're about a week away, a little over that, from those initial discussions in heavy getting started over at Saints camp. Start at wide receiver. All the discussion here the last couple of weeks, what happens to Emmanuel Butler? What happens to Austin Carr, Keith Kirkwood, LJ Humphrey? Ricardo, how do you think this position group is trimmed down?
I think we're going to see, for after, of course, Michael Thomas and Ted Ginn, we'll see Traquan staying on this roster as well. Keith Kirkwood as well, even though he's been kind of banged up these last couple of weeks. And then when we kind of get to the fringy guys there, I think Austin Carr has played himself back into the 53, and not only as wide receiver, but also you can see in special teams as well. He's been kind of in the mix there, getting during practices, getting those return reps in the kicking game as well. I know Emmanuel Butler was such a media camp standout, a training camp standout at the beginning. But I think just because of that setback when he got hurt and was able to play in that first preseason game, and we saw what he did in the second preseason game where he had three targets, didn't have a catch. Granted, one of those throws, Teddy Bridgewater could have delivered it better. He had a chance to really have a big hookup there in that first quarter, but was unable to get it to him. But I think it's one of those where maybe Emmanuel Butler is one of those where he doesn't make the 50, he doesn't make the initial 53, but you kind of keep him around and maybe get him on a practice squad and he doesn't get claimed by another team. I still think that the Saints coaches like the potential of what he's got. So I don't think he makes the initial 53, but I think he kind of sticks around and he could be there. And it'll be interesting. I think Simi Cobbs will be one where we're going to have to wait until that fourth preseason game, what he does. And again, that may be another guy that he may not make the initial 53, but the Saints will definitely keep an eye on once they go through waivers and maybe they can stash him on a practice squad too. But there's plenty of good potential guys that the Saints have been looking at that they could keep around. It's just a matter of some of those guys stepping up and staking claim. And I think we're going to see that from Traquan Smith this year, just because it's his second year. I think Austin Carr is going to find a comfort in this and contribute as well. And then some of those young guys that I just mentioned, they'll get a chance, but it'll be one of those where I think the Saints kind of will bring them back practice squad wise if they can.
Yes, if they can, if they, of course, sneak through waivers. But it's the old, I guess, conundrum that these NFL teams have. Austin Carr can help you now on the field. Drew Brees yesterday, we've gone over it here ad nauseum the last 24 hours, how confident and comfortable he is with Austin Carr. Emmanuel Butler's more of a, I don't want to call him a project necessarily, but more of a long-term thinking there. So it is tough, Ricardo. Like, are we talking 2-3 years down the road or now? It seems like everything is pointing towards got to win now, right?
Yeah, and that's been the whole mentality, the makeup of this team, where when we were going into training camp, we knew that all these positions that the Saints had were going to be relatively deep. And this was a roster that was built to win a Super Bowl. So what you need, basically you're thinking, if you go in training camp, you have pretty much your two deep pretty much set. That leaves you with maybe 8, 6 to 10 maybe spots in terms of undrafted rookies, your draft class, guys that you bring in off the street, guys that you get from other teams that you invite into to make up the 90 year training camp. You have such limited spots to fill with all those guys that you bring in. So really what it comes down to is, okay, which guys can contribute now to this run? Which guys are too good to pass up that we need on this team right now? And you're really just kind of, you're in the thinking of the now. You're not necessarily thinking, wow, this is a guy that, man, 3, 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road, he could project to be a really good player for us. That's something you would like. But when you have a roster that's ready to win now, you have a roster with a 40-year-old quarterback with a bunch of veterans that are right there ready to go. When you're loaded with a bunch of young superstars as well, the spots just simply aren't there for those guys that you want to develop for 3 or 4 years. So it is just very tricky for the Saints to kind of figure out which guys can help us now, which guys we want to kind of keep long-term and kind of build. It's a great problem to have, don't get me wrong, but this is what you're going to run into where we're more or less looking at, okay, who's going to be the 46 to 53 rather than, man, who's going to be our starting wide receiver? Who's going to be our starting quarterback? Who's going to be our starting DN? And again, it's a better problem for the Saints to have trying to figure out those fringe guys rather than who their starters are going into the season.
Ricardo LeCompte with this, and let's go to defense. Now, actually, you know what? Before we go defense, let's talk returner. Sean Payton kind of hinted today, it's not a done deal that Deontay Harris is on this team. I don't know if that was lip service, and we've heard Sean kind of give us lip service in these situations before. Do you think Marcus Sherrill still has a chance to make this roster if he can get back?
He's got to get back, and I think it's one of those where it's, you make the team, or you get to be useful when you're available, and that's just half of what NFL football is. You just have to be available to play. And Marcus Sherrill, who wasn't even at practice the last couple of days, he's now kind of in danger of losing his job to Deontay Harris. And credit Deontay Harris for just taking advantage of the opportunity when he got that start in that first preseason game, and he kind of, he was making plays in the return game that kind of went, wow, this guy's got a little something in that return game that we just haven't seen in that part of the team for the last couple of years. Credit him for taking advantage against the Vikings and then taking advantage of his reps against the Chargers. So as of now, I'm looking at it as Deontay Harris has just played himself onto the 53 and kind of bumped Marcus Sherrill's. And when we were thinking at the beginning of training camp when they brought Marcus Sherrill's in, it was kind of pretty much, all right, you have a veteran return guy. This guy also, he's in quarterback reps, but really you're looking at him as a returner, and he's getting these opportunities, and you go, well, there's a specialist, there's a guy they signed. And now you're looking at it going, well, Deontay Harris just played himself in. And it's not like it's unprecedented for the Saints to bring a guy in as a return specialist and then at a point. Remember, they brought in Brandon Tate last season, and he was supposed to be that guy that was going to be the returner, that they were kind of looking at, and they ended up cutting him on cut day. It's one of those where, again, when your roster is so limited in spots, if you're going to keep guys in, they better be really good at what they can do in terms of what they can bring, like a specialist or a specialized skill, or they have to be versatile in different aspects of the game to help you out. So really, if you go Deontay Harris and Marcus Sherrills, you've just seen what Deontay Harris has done. You're more comfortable probably maybe moving forward knowing that than going with Marcus Sherrills. But again, if Marcus Sherrills plays in the third preseason game and he gets back on the field and he shows flashes that he can do it, then it's going to be his job. But right now, Deontay Harris has wrestled that away.
Finally, the other group that we're keeping an eye on, one of them, but probably most squarely an eye on, the cornerback positions. Apple, Crawley, Lattimore, Robinson, Williams. And that doesn't count special teams specialists like Justin Hardy. All those guys making this roster, Liccardo?
I think some of them are. The ones I would be worried about is Ken Crawley. There are flashes at times where I've seen him make plays, and then it's other times where I've seen him, you go, wow. If he doesn't shine on special teams, he's gone. And that's going to be another one of those where he's going to have to kind of show in these last two preseason games if he is warrant of being able to stay on this team. And the same team, they decided not to really cut Ken Crawley loose, and they brought him back for another year. But it's just one of those where it's like, all right, is he going to make this roster? The one position in that cornerback room that I'm really going to see that also kind of go down in the final day is that battle at nickelback with T.J. Williams and Patrick Robinson. And that's been a kind of a back and forth battle in camp, even though I think T.J. Williams has the advantage as of now. But it's not like it's such a distance where P.J. is having a distance himself from P-Rob. I think that's going to end up going down probably to right to the opening night. And P-Rob has a chance to really kind of seize that. It's just the coaches are kind of waiting for him to really take advantage of that and just kind of take it away from P.J. and just haven't quite done that yet. So that's going to be kind of interesting. If P.J. ends up winning that spot, what you do with P-Rob, and is P-Rob, if he kind of sticks around, does that kind of knock someone else out? And again, it's one of those guys where you're looking at a Justin Hardy, which I think, Hardy's going to make the roster just because he can do things, not only special teams, but also give you another option at cornerback. Because you got other guys that you're at that position and you're like, all right, well, do we want to go with the veteran and P-Rob, or do we want to go ahead and keep one of these young guys? And again, that's going to be one of those things where if P-Rob can show and really compete for this and maybe get edged out by P.J. Williams, and you kind of like what you see with them, then that may knock out somebody else. But that's an interesting battle that you should watch in these next two games and see who kind of stakes claim to that.
He's Ricardo Lecompte, sports anchor for WWL TV Channel 4. You can give him a follow on Twitter at @RLecompteTV. Ricardo, always appreciate it, bud.
All right, thanks, Seth.
All right, thanks so much. We're going to take a quick break. We're back. We'll talk some offense and defensive line with Steve Court on the last lap. Let's bring on in former Saints offensive lineman and my partner on game days on Fans First Take, brought to you by the Acadian Windows, Steve Court. Steve, what's going on, bud?
Let's do it.
Let's do this. All right. I'm doing great. I'm watching a little Little League World Series, man, and the boys from Louisiana getting it done. Yeah, 9-0. They're going to advance. Steve, I want to focus on offensive and defensive line with you here for the next 5 minutes or so. Let's go offensive line. I think we talked about this last Sunday. Is this position group pretty easy to handicap, breaking it down, who's going to make this roster? And we think it's Easton, Cameron Tom, and Michael Ola, or perhaps somebody else?
You mean when you gave me those three as to what those?
In addition to obviously the starting five as we approach breakdowns.
I gotcha. No, I don't see it that way. And again, that's just my.
Sure. By the way, Steve. By the way, I'll throw in here that also Zach Streif disagreed with me. So please tell me.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed so far, just because I thought they'd be a little further along than they are. And I know it's a big deal when you lose a center that's sort of like Unger that's been there for a period of years, but it's such a veteran, and you're bringing in a young guy. But I really thought that just that whole line would be a little bit more in sync at this juncture. And they really haven't shown me that. And I don't know. There's been some inconsistencies that really sort of bother me, and I don't know what that is. And again, I know it's preseason, and I know, you know, a lot of things can happen, and, you know, guys are, you know, working their way through different positions and, you know, little injuries and nicks and all those types of things. But I just really thought they'd be a little bit further along than they are at this point. But I tell you what, I as far as the other three guys, they usually keep eight. And we're assuming that five is going to be, you know, McCoy and Pete and Larry, as well as Ramchek and Teron. And then we're trying to figure out, you know, who's going to be that swing tackle, you know, and then we're going to try to figure out, you know, is it going to be a guard and a center, or is it going to be, you know, a guard and a tackle, or is it going to be somebody that can really, when you get to that juncture, you got to be able to sort of do a lot of things. And so the more you can do when you're in that sort of those three guys, the better off you are. So I'm not so sure it's going to be. I was pretty impressed with I've always been impressed with Cameron Tom. And I think he's I can't see them. He's been around for a while for a reason. I can't see them get rid of him because he does so many things well. He can play guard. He can play center. They can put him all over the place, and he can play. And then I really don't know what they're going to do as far as, you know, I'm still sort of waiting for Easton to sort of show me why they, you know, captured him this year and paid him the kind of money they did. I haven't been as impressed with him as I thought I would be early on. But, you know, there's a couple other guys out there that are pretty good. I mean, Marcus Henry, I've been watching him since he got there, and I'm just amazed at how good of an athlete he is and the kind of feet he has. He's a strong guy. He's a little undersized, but yeah, I've seen a lot of undersized guys play and play well. So that's not my biggest concern. I think that McCoy has definitely, you know, stepped into his starting role. That's sort of his job to lose at this point. So I'm going to have to see this next game. This next game is going to make, it's going to tell a lot, because this is kind of the dress rehearsals, Seth, as you know, and I really need to see that offense go out there with that line in this first possession they get. And I don't want to see any pre-snap stuff. I don't want to see, you know, guys that are sort of guessing about what they're supposed to be doing, and there's indecision and indecisiveness and those types of things. That stuff needs to be cleared up, because we're getting to the point now where the balloons are going to go up in a couple of weeks, and that's when it starts. And you can't afford to have any of that stuff happening. You got to run yourself as a finely oiled machine at that point. And I know we're still working through those things, and I think we'll get there. Look, I have all the faith in the world in Rauscher. I think he's a terrific coach. You really do. And he'll get these guys right. As to what guys they're going to pick, I don't know. I don't know if we'll see the final iteration in the first couple of weeks. That still may be a sort of a moving target.
Louisiana, by the way, the Little League World Series team, they do advance 10-run shutout of Virginia. So United States championship game tomorrow at 2:30. Steve Court with us. Let's go to the defensive side.
They say Virginia's for lovers, and I guess they're not for baseball teams.
Yeah, and remember, it's in Williamsport, so it's kind of the home team there. Well, at least closer anyways. Okay, let's go, Steve, really quickly to the offensive line, defensive line, only a couple of minutes here.
Yeah.
What's your take on that group? And is maybe an addendum to that, Is Trey Hendrickson played himself to a point where he could start over Marcus Davenport?
You know, he's a unique guy. He's got a motor that just won't quit, and he looks to me like he's out to prove something. You know, I think he really sort of got set back last year with that, you know, that injury, and I think he's really sort of out to sort of prove himself again, because he was on a great roll. If you remember, he was really on a great path to really being a double-digit sack guy. I wouldn't be surprised, but at the same time, I think they know where Davenport stands. I think they're, from what I can understand, they're trying to make Hendricks on the other side, but that doesn't mean anything. I think he's sort of a guy that they're going to bring in there on pass rush situations, and I still would think that they would. I still think he's in their mix. I think he brings too much to the table. I don't think you want to get rid of him yet.
Steve Court, we'll be together on Saturday for Saints Jets. Steve, we'll see you then.
I'll see you then, buddy.
Okay, there you go. Steve Court, former Saints offensive lineman at Saint 60 on Twitter. We'll take a break. We're back with our bonehead of the day. And really, it's, again, boneheads of the day. Boneheads of the year for one team in Major League Baseball on the last lap. It's time for our favorite new segment of the day, our sports bonehead of the day. Once again, we go to Major League Baseball like we did yesterday, and this is more of a team award. We're giving it to the Baltimore Orioles pitchers who, in mid-August, with a month and a half left to play in the Major League Baseball season, set a dubious record, giving up their 259th home run of the season allowed. That is now a Major League Baseball record. So congratulations to the Baltimore Orioles pitching staff and pitcher Aston Wojciechowski today, who gave up that home run. The Baltimore Orioles pitching staff can't get anybody out, and they're our boneheads of the day. Two more hours of the show, and right now going live on Facebook, debating wide receiver cutdowns.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.